Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Royals.
And gone!
Trust the same experts who make the right call for the Royals and go to kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
I like the way that you roll up and down the court, just like I'm the king on the microphone, so it's Dr. J and Moses Malone.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My back hurts. What? That just... Marco, come and rub my back, please. You know what? Sometimes you need to embrace the pain.
Right.
And let it fuel your fire.
Actually what I just told my son about his braces that he got put on yesterday. Poor guy.
I haven't talked to Selena. I've never met anyone that likes braces more. She goes every month and she gets a different color. Look, now I have blue.
There you go.
Now I have green. Yeah. I'll tell you what. I don't know if this guy slept yet. This Jay Heidrick has been all over Twitter. Acting wild after last night's K-State victory. He's part of our Border Patrol Fast Break. Let's check in and talk K-State.
I got a question right off the bat for this man. We were texting a little bit last night.
Go ahead.
How many bourbons, Jay?
Oh, I only had, a few.
Slow down, Cappy. Yeah. Slow down.
Yeah, a few.
This is a marathon, not a sprint, buddy. Come on.
Yep.
Now.
Yep.
So, is this okay? So I peppered Stan Weber with these questions, and now it's your turn. Of all your years watching K-State basketball, where does that rank amongst the best individual performances from Marquise Noel?
I would say that's a tough question.
Better believe it is
because you had so many great performances from Michael Beasley, and
right.
You had Jacob Pullen in the three overtime game against Xavier. But it's got to be top three, I'd say. Top five. Top five, definitely, but top three. But when you throw in the injury, too, he was just incredible last night. He just refused to let his team lose. It was amazing to watch.
I don't know. For some reason now, Cincinnati Bengals fans are accusing him of faking the injury. So I don't know what they have to do with it. Whatever.
get it?
They were accusing.
Yeah.
Mahomes.
Well, my daughter texted me and said they need to get whoever helped Pat Mahomes in the Super Bowl to New York City.
That's exactly. Send Patrick Mahomes out there. All right. What about games?
Rank? Can I throw one more out there just for the old farts like me? Because I know you remember this too, Jay.
You're going to anyway, so go ahead.
K-State over Purdue in 1988. Mitch Richmond, 27 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists as well. He's got to get some love too, doesn't he?
No.
Yeah. See, that team was expected to be good. Mitch Richmond was an NBA All-Star. I mean, Marquise Noel's been undersized, underappreciated, and overlooked his entire life. So I'd put Marquise Noel over that for sure.
In Nate's face, what about games? Where does this rank amongst the games? And just what you've seen. Nate's going to ask about some 1947 game. I'm talking about what you've seen. Was that the best, second best, third? What?
It was the second best behind the Xavier game.
Yeah.
In 2010, I think, in Utah. In Salt Lake City, only because I was at that game, and that game was just incredible. That is the greatest game in any sporting event I've watched in person.
Are you going to be at this game tomorrow?
No, I will not be there tomorrow, but I'll be in Houston next week.
Oh, boy. So you feel
crazy faith.
Crazy faith. Hey, that's the phrase with Jerome Tang. How confident are you about this game tomorrow against Florida Atlantic?
You have to take them seriously. They've proven that they're not just some Cinderella who can win one or two games and a nice little surprise. They're not just a storyline in this tournament. They are a legit basketball team. They're tough. They're going to guard you. Tennessee is one of the most physical teams in the country, and to be able to handle that physicality when you're undersized, like Florida Atlantic was against them, was impressive. So it's going to be a difficult game for K-State. And this does have some smackings of the Salt Lake City game in 2010 when Danny Clemente got hurt against Xavier in the Sweet 16 and then had to come back and wasn't 100% for the Elite Eight game against Butler. Now, I don't think that Florida Atlantic has an NBA All-Star and a future NBA coach on their roster like Butler did, but they're going to be a difficult task. You don't make it to the Elite Eight by accident.
And I do think it's going to be a hell of a game, but, I mean, that game last night, just unbelievable in some of the shots that were made and some of the passes that Noel made. But did you take any offense at the fact that Tom Izzo said that K-State hits lucky shots and they said Michigan State, that wasn't their best ever? Like, I thought Michigan State played out of their minds. And yeah. I thought like that was the best Michigan State could play up against K-State, and it seemed like Tom Izzo, can we play that clip? It seemed like he was somewhat reluctant to give credit to K-State. For people that haven't heard it, we can play it real quick. This is just the interview they do right outside the locker room after the game. Here's what Tom Izzo said.
That doesn't rip your heart out, Coach. I don't know what will. Walk me through that last minute.
Yeah, I'm so proud of these guys for a lot of reasons. I mean, give them credit, but I mean, they banked in two shot clock threes. And they made some big plays, but some of those plays weren't big plays. They were lucky plays. And I didn't think we played our best. I think some of it was them. I think some of it was us. But
I thought that was like, they were a 7 seed for a reason. I thought that was an A-plus effort from Michigan State, and they shot lights out. And for him to say, some of those big plays weren't big plays. They were lucky plays. I don't know. Maybe he was just mad in the moment. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, come on, Tom. Stop yelling at clouds. Get off my lawn. It's ridiculous. You got beat. And you're going to tell me that you shot 52% from three-point line and K-State got lucky? I mean, that's just ridiculous. Just have a little grace. K-State played well. They made more plays than Michigan State did at the end. And let's talk about, Marquise Noel is the headline, obviously. But let's talk about Jerome Tang for a second. Big out-of-bounds play late in the game to get a bucket to go up three. There are also a couple other out-of-bounds plays that he drew up coming out of timeouts when K-State was down four, and it's one of those pivotal moments in the game, and K-State gets a bucket, pulls within two. He had Tom Izzo again had the ball at the end of the game with a timeout and didn't score. I mean, you talk about this year where guys like Tom Izzo and Bill Self, some of the best guys in the country in the history of the game, coming out of timeouts, drawing up plays, and K-State has been able to stop them to keep them from getting buckets. Now, Michigan State did get one at the end of regulation. But at the same time, let's talk about Jerome Tang and how incredible he was last night with his game plan and his staff and his scout. They really changed defenses a little bit. They normally force baseline, but they forced baseline hard last night. And what recognizes that Michigan State's got some incredible shooters, and K-State's rotations usually aren't the best. That helps prevent ball reversal and helps prevent you getting in chase situations and closeouts. And, Michigan State hit some shots, but K-State just had a great game plan. And, Tom, I would just say you got your butt beat. Sit down, shut up, know your role.
Hey! Ah, you jabroni. Where do you come down on whether or not that lob play was choreographed in terms of the conversation between Noel and Tang, or was that just impromptu?
I can see it either way, but I think it was impromptu. But when you talk about all-time greats, I mean, that has to be one of the greatest plays in NCAA history. And there's been a lot of lobs, but given the time, the circumstance, everything that went around it, where he's talking to coach, and then the reverse finish, I mean, that has to be one of the greatest highlights in the history of the tournament, in my opinion.
All right, my man. One win away from the Final Four. All the stands between you and Houston is FAU. Good luck to you on Saturday, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right, I'll talk to you guys from Houston. Got my plane tickets. Crazy faith.
Jay Heidrick is in. He says,
crazy
don't
faith.
You worry about nothing. He will see you in Houston. Houston, we may have a problem. Now, let's move on to Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com. Hello, Gabe. How are you?
Not bad. What's going on, Steven?
Well, a lot of college basketball, man. Did you take in those games last night and see the fantastic finishes of the K-State game and the Gonzaga-UCLA game?
Well, I watched all night, and with Gonzaga up 10 with a minute 45 left, I turned that one off and went to bed and found out a lot of things happened because I've only been watching this tournament for like 35 years, so you know I haven't yet learned that things go a little differently at the end of these games.
You ain't kidding. I said at the top of the show, a bunch of people turned that game off, and I contemplated turning the game off when it was an eight-point lead with 52 seconds left. I said, you know, it's probably over. But I stuck with it, and there you go. But Gonzaga ends up winning anyway, the dramatic three from the logo. All right, so we'll wrap up the Missouri season. And I know it's not your job to tell Mizzou fans how to feel, but it was interesting reading social media.
Wait,
and then,
it's not?
No, well, maybe it is. I want you to tell people how to feel.
Okay.
But look, everything, it was a wild success when you look at overall, but I'll be mad when Creighton and Princeton play tonight, I'm sure. But it's hard not to be disappointed in the way it ended. But now that we've had a week to kind of digest that, sum up Dennis Gates' first season with the Missouri Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's disappointed in the way it ends, except one team, right? I mean, like, Kansas State fans, however long it goes, unless they win the national title, they're going to have at least a day where they're disappointed. That's how it goes for everybody. And I understand, especially when it's, you know, Princeton and a 15 seed being upset for that day. I get it. But I think most of what I saw by Sunday morning was pretty rational. And, hey, if you would have gone to Dennis Gates on November 1st and said, you know, win 25 games, you're going to be the four seed in the SEC tournament, you're going to make the conference semis, and you're going to win an NCAA tournament game for the first time in 13 years, if he was being honest, I think he would have said, yeah, sign me up. We don't have to play the season. I'll take that. You know, and I think every Missouri fan would have, too. I might even have said it on your guys' show last Friday that, hey, I don't care if Missouri goes out and loses by 20 to Princeton. There's no real complaints about this.
So, yeah,
at this
you're
point.
The
now,
guy that's caused
spoken
it.
That into existence. But, you know.
Gabe, I'm telling you, thanks because when you said that, I was like, oh, Gabe, I think there'll be some people griping on your message board. And then as I was watching that game, I was like,
and I understand people being upset for that day, but it doesn't change anything about the season, right? And I mean, the other problem is that we just put. College basketball has become, to most people, a three-week sport.
Yep.
And it's too bad because it takes away from a lot of teams. I mean, if you look at Missouri and Arkansas, there's really no question who had the better season. Arkansas was 10th in the country in the preseason. Missouri had a better overall record. They had a better SEC record. They split the head-to-head games. Arkansas had a better day last weekend. You know, but overall, Missouri's season was better.
All right. Here is the most important question I ask you. Gabe DeArmond, will Kobe Brown return next season?
If I have to guess today, I would lean toward yes. Because...
Well said.
I just, most places that project these things have Kobe kind of a second half of the second round guy. And there's not a lot of guarantees there. You know, for all the complaints about NIL, this is like the perfect situation that it exists for.
Right.
He's a guy a little bit like Drew Timmy was last year where, yeah, he can go pro, but he's not a first-round pick, and he can probably make more money here than he can playing professional basketball next year. You know, I just looked it up this morning. A two-way contract, you're going to make $508,000. So, you know, Missouri can get close, pretty close to that, I think. And I think that's probably the going rate for a guy that would be a potential conference player of the year, you know, All-American candidate to start next season. So if he goes, I don't think it's a financial decision. I think it will simply be a, hey, I've been here 4 years, I've done everything I can do, and I want to go take my shot to be a professional.
But I totally agree with you about NIL, and this is the sweet spot, and this is exactly the kind of player that NIL can reasonably lure back for one more year. And just think of the difference, like how different do we? And I don't know who he's going to get in the transfer portal, and it's going to be a new roster, but still, if you have a conference player of the year candidate. Returning with that experience, how differently will view the team going into the season versus not having him?
If Kobe's back next year, I think Missouri will be a preseason top 25 team, and they will be, you know, predicted to make the tournament and all that. If he's not, there's going to be a lot of, okay, Dennis Gates proved to us that last year wasn't a fluke. Now, I'm not saying either of those outlooks are necessarily right, but I think it's wildly different in what will be predicted for this Missouri team. And, you know, the whole NIL thing, I mean, we've had so many debates over it. If this is what NIL was, if it was used to reward the players who have done things in college, I don't think that many people would have a problem. Would anybody have a problem with Kobe Brown making $400,000 next year?
Nope.
After what he's done for this program and this university? Absolutely not. The problem with NIL is the coaches have taken it and made it a thing to lure the kids who haven't done anything. The one rule about NIL is it's not supposed to be a recruiting inducement, and it's literally the only thing coaches are using it for.
I will say, though, that you're right, though, Gabe. We were talking about this. I mean, like, even for, like, a Jalen Wilson coming back to Kansas this past year. You know, it's, okay, you could go make six figures playing in the G League and bouncing around on buses or whatever you do there, or you could make 6 to 7 figures being big man on campus, playing in a great arena and having all the great stuff that you have. That's right. That's the good part. And I do think that is at least keeping some kids in school that will get to watch play. So that's the positive of it for sure.
And I think one of the things that brings into play is legacy, right? Like,
yeah.
Kobe's legacy is secure here. But what is it if he comes back next year and he's SEC Player of the Year and Missouri's a Sweet 16 team? It's totally different, you know, and like the guy I always go back, I've said for like 15 years now, find somebody that loves you the way Missouri fans love Chase Daniel. Well, obviously that's the right. Success is a big part of that, but he was here for 4 years, right? And he was a guy that there's absolutely nothing wrong with being a phenomenal college basketball or football player who, I don't – maybe it does or doesn't translate into success in the pros, but like, you know, Jalen Wilson this year, I think Kansas fans, even despite the end, will look at him probably as a player they'll remember much more than if he would have gone pro last year, you know, or like if Grady Dick were going to stick around another couple years, that's different than just this kind of, hey, I was here for 9 months and now I'm moving on. It's not that they don't like him, but the longer you stay and the more you can leave a mark on a program, like, that's worth something down the road. And it's not necessarily financially worth anything, but I think that a lot of people just tend to get in a hurry and say, well, this is my stop on the way to the next thing. And sometimes, man, if you spend an extra year at that stop, you can change a lot of things.
You are absolutely right. I do love Chase Daniel. That is.
I wish you could have seen the look on Steven's face when you said, "What if Kobe Brown comes back and is what did you say? First team All SEC or
Player of the Year?
Of the Year?
He get it right?
Yeah, boy, that Steven.
What's wrong with you?
Steven looked like he needed a cigarette.
Hey, before we let you go, one other question. I remember back, you know, when Dennis Gates when Mizzou played Alabama, and even though they didn't the first time, and even though they didn't have Kobe Brown, Dennis Gates said, "Hey, that's the best team in the nation when they're right." They could lose, right? They could not even make it to the Final Four, but it feels like that's playing out in the tournament. And after watching all these other teams, I think there's a real chance that they just, and I picked them, but and no pun intended, they roll through this thing and win it all. Do you think anyone stops Alabama?
I mean, I picked Alabama to win it in the two brackets I filled out. I think if they go out and play, you know, an A game, I don't think anybody touches them. Yeah. UConn might be the second best team in the country, yeah, to be quite honest. And look, despite the fact that I picked Alabama, I sure hope I'm wrong. I would have loved them to lose both times they played last week. This is not the team that college basketball fans should want winning this thing. But they sure look a lot better than everybody else.
No, I'm with you. I think they're the best team, and they're the team I'm right now most want to lose right now. Hey, Gabe, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
That's Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com. Boy, that whatever just happened just scared the hell out of me. Everything got real loud, and I feel like I was like in a jolt.
Gabe's very quick to hang up the phone.
Thank you. Let's now talk Kansas with Shreya Slada.
Kansas.
Hey, man, what's going on? How are you today?
Good. How are you guys? Apologies for the last couple of weeks. I've been sleeping like crazy in the sense of not sleeping at all.
Hey, you know what? That's all right. But we get a chance now to talk to you and kind of wrap things up. Your thoughts on Eric Musselman not taking his shirt off after getting blown out by UConn?
Probably for the best. Honestly, I know everyone hated on it, but I understand why he did it. You know, you get hyped. He's an energetic guy. I talked to him before the game with a little one-on-one, and just the energy honestly kind of reminds me of a jacked-up rabbit.
A jacked-up rabbit. All right. Well, that rabbit's going home. So I think all the KU fans that were mad about it got to laugh last night watching that. But more importantly, I think from KU fans' perspective, what about their coach? Have you heard anything about his status? How is Bill Self? And can you take us inside maybe the decision for him not to coach last weekend?
Yeah, so from what I heard, it looked like he was actually relatively close to coaching. Like, it was almost like a coin flip decision. They decided, hey, you know, we need a little more time to kind of, I think, get him out there again. And I talked to Marcus Adams, the freshman that reclassified, and he talked to Self, like, I think that day that Kansas lost. So, you know, that's a good sign. You know, he's coming a year early. I think that's a great sign, actually, that Self's health is on the mend. And it seemed like it was already on the mend. And I had a feeling, you know, if Kansas had gotten through and played UConn, Self would probably have been out there on the sidelines.
So they don't get through, and now it looks like it's going to be an overhaul at Kansas. Obviously, we know that Jalen Wilson, Kevin McCullough are gone. I think we all assume Grady Dick is gone. I don't know how many guys have hit the transfer portal now?
Four and counting.
And counting. So who's coming back? Who's going to play for Kansas next year?
I'm going to just say KJ Adams, Curtis Uday, and Bobby. Sorry, Dewan Harris. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think there's a good chance Zuby comes back, but God knows at this point.
And so what about the recruiting class they have coming in, and how active are they going to be in the transfer portal then?
So they have four freshmen coming in. Al Marco is a five-star that should probably play big minutes. He's the guy that I anticipate probably taking one of the starting spots. He's a tall guard. I could see him playing alongside Bobby. And then Marcus Adams, who they brought in, who is reclassifying, he's a pretty good guy. He told me that they expect him to kind of help alleviate the scoring load that Jalen and Kevin and potentially Grady leave behind. If these three guys leave, you're looking at 45 points per game in production you have to replace. And so I think KU's going to have probably bring in two, three guys, I think, from the transfer portal, just because I anticipate, I'm sure, a couple more guys leaving from the team. And they really need some scoring. And I think they're going to probably look at some of those guys that aren't quite draft ready, you know, but they are 15-point-per-game guys in other leagues like the ACC, like the Pac-12, et cetera, that can go play at KU for the next year or two and then go get the bag in the NBA.
So these guys that are all transferring, is it because they are frustrated that they haven't gotten playing time, or is it because the schools made it clear, like, hey, we're going to bring in guys better than you? Like, what's behind all these decisions?
So I don't want to speak too much on it because you never quite know, but I talked to Bobby and Yesufu on Saturday, like right after the loss, and they were like talking about how they're ready to run it back and come back, yada, yada. I wrote a piece about all these guys. You know, obviously Ernest had some similar, like really strong quotes. I think he's going to be a leader on the next year's team, and he's a strong contender in my mind to internally improve and be really good next year, even better than he is right now. But going back to it, I think with Bobby and with Yesufu, I think probably what happened is they had that meeting with the coaching staff. They said, hey, look, Bobby, there's no way that you're going to start next to Juwan Harris next year. You haven't even proven yourself as a reliable bench guy. You're averaging 2 points per game in like the 20 minutes game you play. It's tough to sit there and say, you know, Yesufu's had a great stretch too. He's had a couple of games where he showcases how good he is. But where are the minutes for him next year with all the freshmen coming in and I'm sure the transfers? Zach Clemens is a guy that, you know, I think just never really fit Bill Self's system. Doesn't play defense that well. And honestly, I think there was just a miscalculation of both Kansas and his part of looking at his skill set and saying, this isn't a guy that you typically see at KU. It's a guy, honestly, he seems like a Gonzaga type guy, to be honest with you. Or like another place that, you know, has the ability to play through their bigs and really cares about offense more than anything. And with Cam, you know, he just wants to play. He's been dealing with, like, you know, injury issues, this and that. I think he's going on his fifth or sixth year. So he's got one more year, and he just wants to play somewhere. So I get why he wants to leave.
All right, last question for you. Who do you have winning this whole thing now that we know who's at least halfway into the Elite Eight?
I'm going to say UConn. I mean, I covered him last year. I think they were going to beat Kansas, even if Kansas got through. They have a rare blend of shooting and big men that I think are really hard to beat. Metrics really love them. Top five in the nation, I think, in a lot of things. You know, honestly, I'm personally rooting for that coaching staff because I always like those guys. They always fed the information. So I'm in a good relationship with them. So, you know, I think they have it. And, you know, next year they're bringing a top five recruiting class. So it is a little bit killing me that Kansas didn't match with UConn because I think it would have been a chess match and a little bit of a match nightmare for Kansas, but it would have been fun.
Hey, man, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
That's the Border Patrol Fast Break. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It's No Hangovers May with Greenlight Dispensary. Enjoy their flower specials all month long by visiting one of their four KC area locations. Or check out their AI bud tenders at greenlightdispensary.com. That's greenlightdispensary.com. It's No Hangovers May with Greenlight Dispensary. Enjoy their flower specials all month long by visiting one of their four KC area locations. Or check out their AI bud tenders at greenlightdispensary.com. That's greenlightdispensary.com.
All right, let's play a little post-game sound here after K-State beat Michigan State in overtime to advance to the Elite Eight. Here, Marquise Noel was asked what it took for him to get back into the game after hurting his ankle.
I just wanted to do it for my teammates, man. I just love being out there with these guys. And I wasn't going to let a little injury like this that, you know, happens on the basketball court all the time to stop me from playing in the Sweet 16 and advancing to the Elite Eight. But, man, you know, got to give credit to my teammates for holding it down when I was out and for battling.
All right. And here is Keontae Johnson and Marquise Noel. They were asked about the success K-State had inside last night against Michigan State.
Michigan State, they do a lot of ball watching, so Keith has always told me when he drives, just keep cutting, and he's going to look for me. And we just, the IQ, I mean, the feel that we have for each other, we just show it today.
To piggyback off of what Keontae said, let's give credit to Michigan State. I mean, they played, you know, a tremendous game on the offensive end and defensive end. It was like a Rocky fight tonight. I mean, we was going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, some guys made some big-time plays. So I just want to give a credit to Tom Izzo and Michigan State.
Nate, does it make you identify with Michigan State when Kante Johnson says they do a lot of ball watching?
Oh, yeah. I was been accused of ball watching quite a bit.
Yeah. Marco liked that.
How
one,
much
by the way.
Did it excite you to hear Marquise Noel say that was like a Rocky fight?
Great.
Back and forth, back and forth.
He gets
it. And how about Marquise Noel complimenting Michigan State for how well they played while Tom Izzo had to try to say that K-State was lucky? I like how Izzo gives it, like, hey, credit to Michigan State, but, you know, they had some lucky shots. Credit to K-State, but they had some lucky shots. That's not crediting them
right
for being lucky. But, you know, what I thought was interesting here was Keontae Johnson saying that they did a lot of ball watching.
Mm-hmm.
That alley-oop pass was a perfect example. Like he said, how do you fall asleep at that moment of the game if you're Michigan State?
Like, I get first couple minutes of the game, like, you know, then
right.
You can't let nothing pass you. That's live ball.
Yeah.
It ain't like we've talked about how the Chiefs have done things like that, where it looks like Kelsey or you know, or Mahomes looking over the sideline and then they snap the ball. You know, that's a dead ball. You can get caught on your heels there.
The ball's in play.
Yeah. The play's going on. You shouldn't. There's nothing. Oh, look, Bird. What are you like? There's nothing that should get you to fall asleep like
that. What do they say at the beginning of a boxing match?
Ding, ding.
Yeah, protect yourself at all times, okay. Right? Protect yourself at all times. You got to, you know, be ready.
Let's hear Marquise Noel. He was asked about the alley-oop.
A couple of people said before the alley-oop to Keontae, you looked at the crowd and said, watch this. Can you confirm or deny that?
Dang, I gotta watch what I say. I mean,
so you
I'll
did
be in
say
the zone.
It. Okay.
Yeah, I was talking to Isaiah Thomas because I think he had a friend over there, and he was rooting for them. And I'm like, y'all not gonna win today. And I just kept looking at him for some, you know, added motivation. But you know, it was nothing but cool vibes with them over there.
All right, here's Jerome Tang. He was asked about the team's creativity on offense and the risks that they took. Late in the game, those deep threes from the logo.
Well, you know, they've all played this game for a really long time, and they all see the game a certain way. And my job is not to make them see it the way I want it played. My job is to figure out how they play best and then put them in an environment where they can do that. And so they know I have confidence in them. I know they want to win. And so any shot or play is made is never made with that they're trying to do something to hurt the team. They're trying to help the team. And so, I mean, we only had 8 turnovers today. So I'd rather him shoot from the logo than turn the ball over.
And by the way, that friend that Isaiah Thomas had with him was Mateen Cleaves, the legendary point guard from Michigan State.
You ever heard of that one?
Nope. Here, Jerome Tang was asked about the Big 12 as a basketball conference.
Yeah, I think we've been a basketball conference. The last 4 years we've had the number one rating. And, I mean, this year I thought we had 10 teams in our league that could play in the NCAA tournament. This is not new. The last 2 national champions have been from our conference. And if it wasn't for COVID, I think it would have been the last 3. And even if you back up one, Texas Tech losing in overtime, it could have been 4 in a row. So we've been a basketball club. We're the best basketball conference in the country. And the coaches in our league are Hall of Famers. And I'm just thankful to be even associated with any of them.
Okay. And so Jerome Tang says the Big 12 is the best conference, right? Basketball.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk to Mr. Tom Izzo now in his press conference after the game.
No matter what anybody says, top to bottom, I have no problem standing up and saying we have the best league in the country. You know, when you have that number of teams beating the hell out of each other every day, I don't think we're worn out from it. I just think you get a bad seed from it. So we had all these teams with 7, 8, and 9 seeds. And I'm not saying that was wrong, but that's what happens when I'd like to see some teams come in and survive this league in the places we play. So, you know, I'm going to become a big Badger fan. I'm going to pull for them in the NIT, and I'm proud of my team, but I'm proud of the league too. And disappointments is disappointments, but I think as a seven seed, maybe we showed how good our league was, instead of, like some people say, the other way around.
Now, the Big Ten last won a national championship in 2000. Since then, 138 NCAA tournament bids, 14 Final Fours, 7 championship game appearances, no titles. And this year they had 8 bids with 1 Sweet 16 and no one going to the Elite Eight, so I don't know.
Well, it's because of all those low seeds like Purdue. Right. You know, they...
Well, no, they were a 1.
They got beat up all conference. That hurt their seed, so they got a low seed. That's why they lost in the first round. No?
You know what had happened? What I found, I talked to some sources.
Yeah?
Is, this will show you how bitter I truly can be for a long time. I'm just going to tell you this. This joke I'm going to tell you. Matt Painter had agreed to advance to the second round, but at the last minute he pulled out.
I knew you were cooking up something over there, that little grin on your face.
Remember, because... Yeah,
he was going to do that. Big Ten's best... I don't care what anybody says.
And Mike Alden showed up to the second round game anyway because he believed him. I'm like, oh, where are they?
With a big suitcase full of money.
And we'll be back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's check in with JR from JRWins.com. What's up, JR?
Doing fantastic, Steven. Absolutely love the intro song. That was my jam about 20 years ago
right, with
Mariah and ODB.
That's right.
I got to tell you guys, if you're not having fun, if you are not pumped up and excited about this college basketball tournament, you are missing the boat. I mean, last night, staying up, being able to, A, start off with that Kansas State game, how exciting that was, and to end it on that UCLA-Gonzaga matchup, which you had to know, even with 4 minutes left, when they were up 9 points, that it was still going to be a game. It just doesn't get better than that. So here's what I'm doing. I've got something huge going down today. It's the late game in Missouri, right there in your backyard. I've got the winner of this Texas Xavier matchup, guys, all locked up. I want you to have it. It's absolutely free. I left it on the recorded message to all the listeners. Right now, call this number and get it on the recording. 800-499-3733. That's 800-499-3733. Xavier, Texas, a great matchup. Obviously, Xavier got hot at the right time. This team has been shooting the three like nobody's business. Texas, they're deep. They've got the number one six man in the country. I'm going to tell you now, guys, this is not a game you want to pick on your own. I know that I've got this one locked up. Yesterday, big winner with Kansas State. I'm coming in big tonight with this matchup between Xavier, Texas, and I'm giving it to you for free. It's not going to cost you a dollar. It's sitting on a recorded message that's 30 seconds long. Call the number now. 800-499-3733. That's 800-499-3733.
And, of course, that game is here in Kansas City along with Houston and Miami tonight at T-Mobile Center. And you mentioned K-State. Any early thoughts on that Elite Eight K-State-FAU matchup?
You know, I got to tell you, this FAU team, not one that I can sit here and tell you with a straight face that I've watched a lot this year, even though with their only 3 losses, you know, this was not a team that when I looked at it yesterday, that's why I didn't give it out. I thought the line was very suspicious at only 4.5 against an SEC team that's been red hot. And they didn't just win that game. I mean, they controlled that second half like nobody's business. And I just felt like that this was a team that you know, they've got size. They can shoot the three. They've got depth. They've got everything. But Kansas State is no slouch, and that's why I think this line has jumped a full point. And look, I don't like it when I see the public is betting on the underdog. And even though they bet the dog in their last match, this is one I think that the line – I just feel like if you ask me that it's ran short on them. They're not going to make it past this Elite Eight matchup. I think Kansas State gets off to a big start. They go out and they get the lead early in this game and don't look back. I don't think it'll be a blowout at the end. FAU will make a nice run in the second half. But I'm looking for K-State to win this game between 7 and 12 points.
All right, what else do our listeners need to know to make this weekend in the NCAA tournament a profitable one?
Well, you know, first off, guys, you don't have a lot of time where, you know, there's not a lot of games, I should say, or situations throughout the year where you can really make a big score. The tournament, it's one of those times. It's my favorite time of year. Better than the NFL playoffs, better than the bowl games. This is better than any time of year. You've got 10 days of nonstop action from the moment you wake till you go to sleep, at least for the first and second round, those 4 days. Managing your money is so paramount to your success. Not going all in on the wrong game or making sure you're only using a certain portion and putting multi-game bets together to really get your bankroll pumped up, keeping your principal balance intact and working on a percentage basis. That's how we make money. Treat this more like a portfolio. So, look, right out the gate, let's get you signed up with something that I know you can sink your teeth into. I'm running a promotion right now where you don't need to pick the games on your own. Anyone can afford to get in, even the $25 better. I will give you everything until they literally rip down the nets and cut them down a week from Monday for $99. And I'll throw in all sports so that you get a real good idea of what we're doing in the NBA, in the NHL. We are just knocking them dead. This could very well be the greatest NBA season I've ever had. So it starts off right away with giving you the free winner on this Texas Xavier matchup going down in your backyard. Call the number and get it free on the recorded message. After you get the free pick, you can hang up, or you can stay on the line and sign up for this $99 deal. Guys, the best deal I'm going to give. And you get a ton of action. And I'm telling you now, you'll never want to pick your own game again. Call now. Texas Xavier on the recording. 800-499-3733. That's 800-499-3733. Be sure to visit jrwins.com. Follow me on social media at Real Radio JR. Call that number, guys. 800-499-3733. And go out there and make some money.
That's JR from JRWins.com. JR, we'll talk to you next week. Back after this on WHB.